Welcome to the Best of PW Torch livecast for Friday, July 6, 2018. I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, and also host of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Shows and Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcasts. And today, on the Best of PW Torch livecast that I've handpicked, we go back almost 5 years to July 10th, 2013, when Pat McNeil interviewed Joey Ryan. Joey Ryan came up in my new interview today with Cody Rhodes when talking about ironic wrestling and wrestlers taking a different approach on the indie scene to make a name for themselves, comparing the Young Bucks and their approach, and even PCO, who Michael Moore just did a column on PWTorch.com. I actually had an exclusive interview with him, so check that out if you haven't yet at PWTorch.com. So we go back 5 years. Where was Joey Ryan at that point in his career? Recently departed from TNA, certainly en route to doing what he has become very known for, but it hadn't fully blossomed, I guess we could say. So here it is, live callers and some good questions from Pat, good conversation. And then at the end, the previous VIP exclusive part of the program is now included here for free. At the end, James Caldwell and Pat McNeil discussing current events in pro wrestling and concept matches. So good stuff. Check it out. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at PW Torch. Follow me on Twitter at The Wade Keller. On Facebook, you can like our brand at facebook.com/PW Torch. And then you can also friend me at facebook.com/Wade Keller Torch. Download, if you have not yet, my new interview with Cody. Some good feedback to it already, and I think you'll find it fascinating. I think it's a really good interview with Cody, talking about his place in wrestling, his future in wrestling, all in. And this weekend's New Japan show airing from San Francisco at the Call Palace on Access TV. Really good interview with Cody. A lot of fascinating topics that you probably haven't heard him talk about the way that he's talking about them here, with some breaking news on his future. Well, not definitive news, but I would still say fascinating insight and the very latest on his mindset, I guess would be the way to put it, about his future and whether there'll be more all in. So that's over on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. Just search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or just about anywhere that you listen to podcasts, or go right to podcastone.com and search Wade Keller. That is the end of the introduction, which means we are about to hear from Joey Ryan 5 years ago this weekend.
Blog Talk Radio.
What? What's impossible?
Yeah, what's wrong, Doc?
There's no way Meg can compete tonight.
No!
Do you really love the lamp, or are you just saying it because you saw it?
I love lamp.
But what are we doing standing around? My lady and I need to dance. Maestro, if you please, rump shaker, or some reasonable facsimile.
So come on down to the party.
People, today is Wednesday, July 10th, 2013. I am your host, Pat McNeil, bringing you today's installment of the most listened to PGE-rated pro wrestling podcast in the world, because that's what I do. This is the PW Torch Livecast, and this is your theme song, All Nations by Kids on Bridges, available on iTunes. Kids on Bridges, the official artist of the PW Torch Livecast. We're coming at you with 60 minutes of wrestling and fun, and if you're not careful, you just might learn something before we're done. We're taking your call, 646-721-9828, here on Blog Talk Radio and PWTorchLivecast.com. You can send in your emails, PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com, and And now, without any further ado, let's get on to the important part of the program.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do. So it really makes me happy to introduce to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his first live cast appearance, the one, the only, Joey Ryan. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you on. Joey Ryan, you've seen him in TNA, you've seen him in Ring of Honor, you've probably even seen him in PWG, and now he is on his own, prepared to reconquer the world. Joey, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so just to recap for those people in our audience who aren't familiar with your story, last week you got released by TNA Wrestling in the latest round of budget cuts. You haven't said anything really negative about them, which I guess that's okay, because usually our hosts say enough negative stuff about TNA for everybody. But tell us what you have planned now that you are a free agent.
Well, first of all, I really can't say anything negative, because I just try to look at the positives. I mean, they had me under contract for a year. They paid me for a year. They didn't have to sign me. They didn't have to put me on TV. They didn't have to put me on pay-per-view, and they did. So I'm really grateful for that experience. You know, I've been wrestling for 12 years before I got that year contract, or I was actually a little bit more than a year under contract to them. I'm just grateful that I was able to get that exposure and that experience. The fact that my release was, it wasn't anything personal. It wasn't about my work. It was just a budget cut, like you said. I just wasn't being utilized on television. I needed to make cuts, and the people that weren't, in storylines were the easiest to let go. Right now, I'm just trying to get my, indie bookings back up, and I was making a full time living on the indies before TNA, and so I'm looking to get back into that and make sure I get my bookings and stay active on the independent scene.
Okay, well, we have a ton of people with a ton of questions for you. So let's do a quick demonstration here of how this works. First of all, this is a PG show. So
while we're waiting for our next caller, we'd like to remind you folks calling in to, keep your questions within the boundaries of good taste.
And today is Wednesday. You can ask up to three questions on Wednesday. You can make up to three comments, but callers, in the end.
Three, that's a magic number.
All right, Joey, are you ready to take our first caller?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's kick things off from the 240 area code. 240, please state your name and town. You are on the live cast with Joey Ryan.
This is Ryan from Cumberland.
Hey, how you doing, Ryan?
Good. Questions about Impact Wrestling. Joey wrestled for Impact Wrestling. What's the funniest story he has about the Knockouts backstage within the 1 year he was with the company?
Okay. Do you have any funny stories about the Knockouts, or?
Let me think. I'm trying to think of anything in particular. Actually, one of my best friends in wrestling, and I've known her since she very first day she started in wrestling, is SoCal Val, and so we had a lot of fun hanging out, and just it was kind of like a reunion when we were both there, because she's been under contract for a few years and left the SoCal area where we're both from. And so just, being able to hang out with her and, we would, just kind of rib each other as much as we could, just because we have that built up. I mean, we think we've been friends for probably more than 10 years now, because I think she started pretty young. She was 15 or 16 when she started. She's one of my favorite people in the whole world, and we would just have a lot of fun together.
Okay, I think our caller is looking for a funny story.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything that stands out too much. It was great getting to do the referee stuff with them, and them all being good sports, and we had Spike TV executives there, because we couldn't cross the line of what they would allow or what they thought was good taste. And I know I had to slap Velvet Sky on the butt, and then we had to get rubbed up by Gail Kim, and it was just kind of finding out the line between what's decent and what's not decent for Spike TV was kind of funny when you think about it, because they're the man's network, and they have mancers and could even get to, I'm pretty sure they have porn stars on there all the time. So So yeah, I was just kind of finding the right lines. I was just kind of teasing it and trying things and do, you know, kind of acting it out in front of Spike TV executives and then kind of looking at them like, yeah, is that okay? Is that okay? You know, and so that was kind of fun.
Well, the only way you can the only way you can make that work is practice.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Ryan, what else?
Who was the seventh worker you worked with in Impact Wrestling?
Okay. I think Ryan would like to know who the stiffest guy you worked on the Impact roster
okay.
is.
You know, they're all pretty professional. None of them were particularly stiff. RVD lays his kicks in, but nothing was too bad. Hernandez is a big guy, you know, so he's very physical, but nothing was too bad. I mean, I was on the indies for 12 years before that, and you know, like a lot of indie guys are pretty stiff, whether they're trying to be strong style or whether they're just sloppy because they're green or whatever it is, or just sloppy because they're sloppy. So you know, being on the indies for 12 years kind of built up a tolerance for stiffness, and nothing. I never really found anybody at Impact to be too bad or even close to what you get on the indies.
My last question is, what tips do you give younger pro wrestlers on how to climb the top rope in your training room?
The best advice I can give is, a lot of times, when you pick a trainer, make sure you search out a trainer that has been in the places that you want to be, because that's the best way to go. You know, I mean, if you want to, you know, be in WWE or you want to be in TNA or you want to go to Japan or whatever, the best thing to do is to find a trainer who's been there, because not only are they going to show you how to get there, but they're going to have some connections to get there too. You know, it's not always the cheapest, but if you're okay with being a local indie guy, then you can go pay $10 a lesson at the local indie guy's workout and learn how to be an indie guy. And then once you're already there, I would just don't close any doors. You know, you get a lot of promotions, especially like when you're in a small area or, you know, and there's like rival promotions and they're trying to be like, well, if you work for this guy, you can't work for me, and they try to like dominate the territory, which I think is ridiculous, because really you're just the indies are you know, pretty small time, and you can't really, you're kind of taking hostage of someone's career if you're telling them not to work places. I tried to work everywhere I could and get the most experience, and being in Southern California, you know, I ended up working a lot of lucha places, and so, you know, if I go to Mexico now, I can fit right into the style because I know the style of Lucha Libre, and just getting the different experiences is what really helped me become a well-rounded wrestler.
Okay, let's see, I think Ryan specifically asked about how you learned to come off the top rope.
Oh, top rope. Okay, I thought he was asking about training. Sorry, my phone must be cutting out, or I'm not getting it. How do you learn to come off the top rope?
Yes.
Some people are just, you know, some people just don't have that fear in them. I don't come off the top rope very often, but you know, it's just practice. Anything like anything you do, you just gotta practice. And you know, if you just climb up there and you just don't jump off, just climb up there and stand there and get comfortable. And, you know, climb down and take it slow if you need to, and just, or, you know, just jump off and land on your feet until you get comfortable jumping off of it. And then, then you could perform moves while you do it. It can be pretty scary, you know, falling from that height. Some people are different than others, and some people get it more naturally than others. But you just, like anything else, you just got to practice till you get it.
Okay. Hey, Ryan, thanks for calling in this week.
Okay. Thank you.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. The Sala Monster sounds off.
Mundo goes to leave, and Taya says, wait, aren't you going to put any pants on? He just goes, no time for pants, and he walks off. That also happens to be Randy Orton's philosophy in life. My philosophy, too. See, you don't know if I'm wearing pants right now or not, do you? You can't see. I could be wearing nothing right now for all you know. No time for pants.
The Sala Monster sounds off.
Since 2007, The Sala Monster sounds off. Available at thesalamonster.com, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and more.
All right. Ryan drops off, and that opens up a line for you at 646-721-9828. Also, the chat room is open at pwtorchlivecast.com. And the email is open, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. In fact, let's get one of these out of the way really quick, because, you know, a simple one to start out comes from loyal reader Manny from Rhode Island, who has an important question for you. Let me see. Oh, crap. Let me see if I can find where I put that. Joey, I know you're a huge Angels fan. Are they buyers or sellers this year at the trade deadline?
I don't think they're either. I think they're. I don't think there's much they can buy. They just need their guys to start performing to their capabilities. I mean, you know, they have Josh Hamilton. He hasn't had the greatest season, and Albert Pujols has been slumping. But if those guys perform to what they can do, then they'll be fine. And plus, they've got guys coming off the DL. Peter Borges is coming off the DL. They'll get Jason Vargas back on the mound. And those are huge pickups for them for the second half. And I, you know, I think they're going to, you know, they're pretty content. They've actually been playing well. I think they've won maybe 10 of their last 12 games, and they're climbing. They're almost to .500 on their record, and you know, 21 of their last 60 games, I think, are against the A's and the Rangers. So really, who are leading the division. So really, they kind of hold their own destiny. If they start playing to how they can play, they still could make a run at the playoffs.
Okay, I think part of the reason Manny asked is because he knows I'm one of the few Angels fans working for PW Torch. My grandmother lives out there, and I went to a lot of their games as a child. So it's been good to see them. Been good to see them make a comeback. All right, we have a lot of callers on hold. We have a lot of emails left to answer. But first, as a wise man once said, it is time to pay the bills. That's where I remind you that this is the PW Torch Livecast. We air every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Tuesday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen live right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. Our show is brought to you by the often-imitated, never-duplicated Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and website. Our website is pwtorch.com. That's where you can get your free apps, including a free MMA news app, a free wrestling news app, and a free Livecast app. They're available for iPhone, Android, Kindle, iPad, Windows Phone, what have you. Get the links to that right at the top of the pwtorch.com homepage, and you can also find links to our Facebook and Twitter accounts there. If you are intrigued by our ideas and would like to subscribe to our newsletter, please check out our membership page. It is pwtorch.com/govip. Become a VIP member for just $10 a month. For you big spenders, it's $99 a year. You get a lot of extras, including at least 15 VIP exclusive audio shows per week, including today's VIP after show, which James Caldwell and I will be recording after we get done with the interview. Get all your newsletters in slick PDF files that look nice on your iPad. Get on the ad-free version of the pwtorch.com website. And VIP members, Torch Newsletter number 1312 is up right now with exclusive articles and features. For those of you on the pwtorch.com website, here is today's big socially interactive livecast poll, where we asked you which match Sunday at WWE Money in the Bank will have the Silva versus Weidman finish from last Saturday's UFC pay-per-view. 21% of you said, "What's UFC?" Well, you're no fun. 19% of you voted for none of the above, and 18% of you voted for John Cena versus Mark Henry. Cast your vote now at pwtorch.com. And since we're plugging things, I'll remind everybody that this Friday on the show, our editor Wade Keller will be back, and he will be interviewing the legendary manager of the Four Horsemen, Mr. James J. Dillon. So be tuned, be ready for that. That is coming up this Friday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. Okay, Joey, we have a lot of people on hold, but there's something I know you probably want to talk about. You were there from day one at the launch of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla in Southern California, and they are about to celebrate their 10th anniversary. And as a matter of fact, one of our questions here is, Joey, will we, via email, Joey, will we see you soon in PWG?
Yeah, the PWG 10-year anniversary is coming up, and I can't believe it lasted this long. I mean, when we started, it was kind of just the six of us just decided to run a show because we got tired of dealing with promoters, and it was successful, and we just kept it going. Now 10 years later, here we are. It's one of the most popular independent companies in the world. As far as I go, you know, there's three of us left, but, you know, part owner and founder. So I've been going to the shows even, you know, when I haven't been on the road, even though I haven't been appearing on camera. So I'll definitely be there. I'm not sure, you know, because the shows get booked months in advance. So, and I don't want to just get thrown in, you know, if I'm coming back. I want to make sure it's for something important and something good. So I'm sure I'll be back. I just don't know when yet. But if you're in Southern California and you're attending the show, you know, I'll be there to say hi and talk to you if you're around. But as far as being on camera, I have no set date yet, but I'm sure it'll happen.
But you should. But fans in the area should definitely go to the 10th anniversary show anyway, regardless of whether you're on camera or not.
Yeah, absolutely. If you check out the card at ProWrestlingGorilla.com, like you'll see it's a stacked card. It's really an all-star show, and you know all the shows have been great. You know that we've done.
Okay, we have two different people calling in from Skype. We're going to try this first one. Calling in from Skype on the infamous 111 area code. Caller, you're on the live cast with Joey Ryan. Hello, I'm talking to you.
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Yes, I wanted to ask Joey a couple questions.
Okay, what's your name?
Sure.
Where are you from?
Sean from Monroe, Louisiana.
How you doing, Sean?
Doing wonderful. First off, I just want to thank Joey for the last year of hard work and entertainment. 87% are here.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Thanks for the support.
Yes, sir. Not to spoil any future storylines or anything, I was just wondering if Joey thought that Hulk Hogan would climb back in the ring this year to possibly face Bully Ray and what his opinion was on that.
I don't know. Myself, I don't know. The writers and producers don't really talk much to the boys, just because the way the world is now, that if they handed out scripts of the next month's worth storylines, then 2 days later it'd be online somewhere, and that's just the world we live in now. So the writers and producers kind of kept everything a secret up until even sometimes the day of or the week before of from the talent there. So I don't really know what the plans are for him. But you know, Hulk Hogan, you can never say never, because you know he's pretty beat up, you know, physically, but. If anybody can get back in there and work around those injuries in the pro wrestling aspect, it's him. So, physically, I don't know, but I wouldn't be shocked if he did.
Exactly. Okay, and my next question, Joey, with the Ring of Honor championship being vacant and them announcing now, I believe, 10 participants, is there any chance we can see you in that tournament?
Not the tournament, not this time around. It's kind of the same thing with PWG, is that, like, you know, I got released, but they've been booked for, you know, those companies tend to book, two or three months ahead of time. I worked for Ring of Honor for a couple of years in 2009, 2010, and I would love to come back, and, you know, I've talked to some of the people there in the office there, and you know they basically just said that, you know, we've got some stuff booked up, hit us up in a couple months and we'll see what we've got. And that's basically what it is on the indie independent scene, is, you know, you got to kind of just keep in contact and keep open and hopefully someday you work something out.
Although I should point out, caller, that one of Joey's former teammates, Carl Anderson, is in that tournament.
Right.
He is?
Right.
Yeah.
And finally, I just wanted to ask Joey what he would consider being his highlight in his TNA career over the last year, if he had to choose one moment or match.
I had a lot of fun in TNA, and I think getting to wrestle guys like Al Snow and getting to wrestle RVD, and I mean, these are guys that I watched when I was in high school, like, and was just a fan before I even thought about wrestling. And, you know, I never in my wildest dreams thought I would ever be able to wrestle those guys, and here I was getting to wrestle them. So I think just getting to, you know, that the high school kid in me was really excited to be able to get in the ring with these guys, and that's probably my highlight of being there.
Awesome. Right. Thank you, Joey, and hope to see you back on TV real soon.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We have a line open for you, 646-721-9828. Got a couple more people on hold, but if we don't start answering some email questions, we'll never get through all these. So let's go with Jerry from Illinois, who asks, Joey, did WSX give you the Joey Magnum Ryan moniker? And if not, why weren't you able to use it in TNA?
That's a good question. I had the character before WSX, which is what they liked and why they booked me for the show. They were the first ones to start calling me Magnum. I mean, I based the character off Magnum, Magnum PI, with the floral prints and the hairy chest and the mustache. But they're the first person to start calling me that. And then, you know, it's kind of strange. Some independent companies I worked for after that kind of picked it up, and some didn't. And, I'm okay with it. I'm okay without it. And, TNA just didn't, it was just not, I guess it was just something they didn't want to use. Maybe they just didn't want I don't know if there's copyrights to it. I don't know what the deal is. They just never, they knew that I'd been called that before, but they never wrote it into the script. So I never asked them about it either. So it's kind of a question to me too.
Okay. I mean, even if you don't call yourself that, you're still pretty much doing the same character.
Exactly.
All right, let's go back to the telephones, this time to the 601 area code. 601, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Joey Ryan.
Yeah, this is Sergeant Kevin Roswell, Jackson, Mississippi. How you doing, Pat and Joey?
Doing good, Sergeant.
I'm doing great.
What can we do for you?
Thanks.
Well, I want to tell Mr. Ryan that I've been, since Sean introduced me to PWG, that's about the best thing on the planet. I want to know, are any plans in the future for like syndication or anything? Because to me, PWG is like the best kept secret in a bottle. Because anytime I see some crappy WWE, I'll pull up a good YouTube video. Whoever putting the package together, Mr. Ryan, they're doing a good job, because I'm steadily ordering DVDs and I'm always impressed because y'all always know what to show and what to do. And please tell everybody how good PWG is over everybody else, because they are missing out. And thanks for all you've done. That's all I have for today.
Okay, Sarge. I think Sarge already just told our listeners how great PWG is. But
thanks for the support. It truly is like an all-star show. And you know, the brand. And what's good about it is the brand has really gotten itself over too, because you can look at the lineup and look at the names, but the names, I mean, although they're well-known independent workers, you could do a PWG show and not announce a single person on the show, and it would probably still sell out, because people have come to trust that and know that PWG, when you go to the show, you're going to get quality. And then the DVD sales have helped. As far as syndication goes, I just don't see it. I don't know if that's a viable outlet. I mean, the DVD sales is really helps the, it helps to pay for everything, really. Like the fans put in, and that money just gets regenerated and put back out into the shows and the show's quality. To take a venture on like syndication, I mean, unless there was specific like backers or specific sponsors that were willing to foot most of the bill, I kind of see it hard for PWG to leave its DVD system, since it's worked so well for 10 years.
Right there in front of us.
Okay, Sarge, I think, is talking to somebody who is not us. So the other question that he asked, who's responsible for the production on the DVDs? Who does because, every time I've seen one of them, it's really good. You guys do a really good job.
It's actually – and this helps the, keep costs down too. And it's actually all done in-house. Super Dragon does all the editing of the footage, and Excalibur does all the DVD design covers, and it really is just like an in-house production, and they've gotten so good at it over the past 10 years. It was a lot of trial and error in the early stuff, and a lot of outside help, but now they've got the system down, and it really just helps the product have the homegrown feel to it.
Yeah, I think that. I think it's something where, you know the wrestlers from elsewhere, but there's really a distinctive PWG style that you don't see in other promotions.
Yeah, totally. Like I said, the guys work hard there because us as promoters aren't real promoters. We're actually wrestlers like them, and it's a bit less pressure. They're able to have more fun, and the audience can feel the fun, and there's energy in the room when they're performing, and so they want to, everyone wants to be at the top of their game. And then I think when you're watching the DVDs too, you can feel the energy watching at home too.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Let's check on the emails. This is Gary who writes, what are the chances that WWE puts on a WCW show like ECW One Night Stand? Gary, I think if they haven't done it yet, they probably aren't going to do it. Let's take another one here. This is Pat from Connecticut. Pat from Connecticut writes, I'd like to say hi to Joey Ryan. Joey's a very talented person, both in the ring and on the mic. My wife and I are big fans. What wrestlers did you grow up watching, and who inspired you most?
That's a good question. I got into wrestling fairly young. I have three older brothers, so when they were watching it, I was watching it with them. And so I got to say, when I was, in the 80s, when I was, a young child, I was a big Hulkamaniac. I liked a lot of the good guys. I liked Hulk Hogan, Ricky Steamboat, the British Bulldogs. And, one of my older brothers was into the heels a lot. He was a Jake Roberts or Ted DiBiase guy. So it was kind of like an inter-family feud going on there. And then when I got a little bit older, I took to Shawn Michaels, like a lot of people did, because you can obviously see how talented he is. And then when I started wrestling myself, I started watching tapes, and when I started wrestling, tapes were still there. It wasn't all internet. When I started watching tapes, I took to guys like the guys were just really crisp in ring, like Lance Storm and Jamie Noble, and I even went back and ended up watching like a lot of Brad Armstrong, and just to kind of get just to see their timing, just to see how crisp they were in the ring, and I try to use that towards what I can do.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Talk briefly about, we've had a lot of discussion of the TNA gut checks over the past year or so on this show. I think with what they did with you was probably one of their best uses of the whole gut check storyline. So sort of run through how you got the call and how you ended up doing the gut check and what that was like.
I had worked with David Lagana in Ring of Honor and in Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and then he put me on the Ring of King with Jeff Jarrett. He suggested me to Jeff Jarrett. He watched a video of me and he liked me, so I got put on that. So I'd worked with David Lagana a lot, and then when he got hired on to be a writer at TNA, and then when the gut check thing came up, they were looking for guys. He suggested me to Al Snow, and Al Snow watched footage of me and liked me too. So they just called me up and would I be interested? And of course, I went down and did it. I think specifically, I might have been there to get a no because I was the second ever one, and they gave Al Silva, the first guy, a contract, and there was the whole thing about Ric Flair switching his vote and whether that was worked or shoot or what. They never let me in on that, but at the same time, so I just went and did my thing, and I think I had the match with Austin Aries, and thankfully I did get Austin Aries to wrestle, and we had a good match, and they liked it backstage, and then they liked the look and they liked the character, especially Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff. And then when they went to do the judge the week after, they didn't tell me specifically that they were going to give me a no, but they, there was hints of it where, they would come to me and say, we like your look, we like your character. No matter what happens out there, we might be able to have you again down the line and things like that. So I just kind of went out there and took it as that, and if I was going to get a no, especially portraying a heel character out there, I was going to just voice my opinion. And, because I've been basically being told no for 12 years on the independent scene. So it really came down to just me voicing my opinion out there. And then they ended up loving that. So, even though I got a no on gut check, they ended up hiring me.
So they didn't feed you any talking points or suggestions on what to say?
Not at all, actually. And that was really surprising to me because, obviously it's live TV and I'm not a guy they know or know very well. I'm not under contract. I could have said anything. The only thing that actually was said to me was Eric Bischoff came up to me like really moments before I went out there and said, I understand you're pretty good on the microphone. Don't be afraid to speak your mind. And that kind of gave me the confidence to just go out there and do what I did. And, just open up and let it all out. And And actually, he was thrilled with it after the, you know, when I got to the back, and I wasn't sure if everyone would be mad at me or not. You know, I didn't, because I don't know if I ruined the segment or if when I was, and Eric Bischoff was thrilled because, you know, he has a producer's mind. So he was like, that's great. That's what the segment should be. That's what live TV is all about. So he was really positive about what I was doing or what I did.
Okay. Well, that's good. I would have to agree with him that you didn't ruin the segment. Let's go back to the telephone and see what else we have out here. 973 area code. 973. State your name and town. You're on the live cast.
Don from New York.
How you doing, Don?
Yeah, three questions, Joey. First, did you get to travel to England with the company?
I didn't, actually. That was right after me and Matt split up.
Okay.
And I never really, you know, they kind of used me sparingly after that.
Okay. Let me ask you a quick question. As far as the decision to take TNA on the road, can you talk about the wrestling at the Impact Zone, comment on that versus being on the road? Because there were some dead spots, you know, some nights at the Impact Zone, and other nights were hot, other nights were not. And you look at a, you know, like a big city like Chicago, you know, I'm from New York too, and, you know, we're hardcore wrestling fans up here. Can you just comment on that decision about to take TNA on the road and just your thoughts on that?
I think, you know, professional wrestling, you know, is not, you know, I think the issue with the Impact Zone is every week it was the same fans, and every week,
right? Well, it was free. It was in Universal Studios.
The same wrestling, and, you know, like, it gets a little bit, you know, like, it gets familiar to them. So, like, they know they're going to see the guys next week and the week after that and the week after that. And then the cheering and the booing almost becomes like rehearsed, where it's like, okay, we know we got to cheer for this guy. We know we're supposed to boo this guy. It wasn't a natural reaction. Like, the people weren't genuinely excited to see anybody because they...
Right. It wasn't a real wrestling crowd. Yeah.
So I think going on the road is a right step, and I think it's still, you know, it's a work in progress, obviously, and they're
right.
Still building their momentum. And, you know,
cool.
I know people are... People are quick to judge right now, but I think, you know, I think you got to give them a little bit of time to let it get off
Definitely,
the ground and get
yeah,
going.
Yeah.
Because I think just going to these towns where people don't get to see them all the time is really what's going to get it over.
Okay. And by the way, I love your T-shirts on your Twitter feed, your little T-shirt section. That's cool. Last question, and thank you, Pat, for taking my phone call, is what sports did you play in high school? Were you a wrestler? What are you a fan of? You're a football fan. And do you listen to wrestling podcasts, too? Do wrestlers listen to podcasts? And
all right,
you
only get a third one. What sports did you play in high school?
I played baseball. I didn't play football at all. I mean, I did in, like in junior high and stuff like that. But once I got to high school, I was just baseball was my thing. I didn't do wrestling at all. Never even crossed my mind to do it in high school.
Wow.
And so it was a decision after high school that I decided to get into professional wrestling.
Sweet.
Okay.
Awesome, brother. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Don. Don drops off, and
thank
that opens
you.
Up a line for you at 646-721-9828. Next week on the program... Next Wednesday, we are scheduled to have former WWE and WCW wrestler Leilani Kai, who is currently training female wrestlers. So we will get, hopefully, a different perspective on the business from her. Let's try another phone call. Going to the 862 area code. 862, please state your name and town. Hold on a moment. Shoot. 862, please state your name and town. On the live cast with Joey Ryan.
Kylan from North New Jersey.
How you doing, Kylan?
Very well, Pat. How are you doing?
Oh, can't complain.
Good, good.
Do you have a question for Joey?
Sure. I have my three questions ready.
Okay.
Question number one. How did you enjoy working with friend of the live cast and the Torch, Kevin Kleinrock, in the Wrestling Society X promotion?
Yeah, we know Kevin.
Kevin's great. Kevin's another guy that really took a liking to me and, you know, wanted to use me and stuff. And not only did he use me in Wrestling Society X, but when he did the XPW reunion show, he even added me to that. I never wrestled in XPW except for the reunion show. So, you know, Kevin's a big fan. He's become a friend of mine, actually, and, you know, after being a fan of mine at first.
That's great. Question number two. Have you been offered any tryout matches or maybe a proposed contract with WWE in the past?
I've done a lot of extra work for them. You know, I've done matches on Velocity and SmackDown and probably some other stuff, ECW when they had that show. I've never been offered anything by them. I tend to be a love them or hate them kind of guy, and you know, people either love me or they hate me, and which I enjoy because I'd rather somebody hate me than be indifferent towards me. And WWE's just never been on my side. But you know, never say never because there's a different regime in place now, and so hopefully they'll give me another look and I'll be able to do some more stuff for them one day.
And final question. Is Taz really as curmudgeonly as he seems?
Taz started off a little bit rocky. He didn't know I was going to fail those things that I said to him on the live gut check because it wasn't scripted. So we started off on the wrong foot because I was putting down his wrestling and his wrestling ability, and he's very proud of that. I think after a while, though, he understood that I was saying whatever I could to get a job, and so after that, and we, you know, as time passed, we kind of became more friendly, and you know, he ended up being a good guy, and you know, we got along really well.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Joey.
Thank you,
Colin. Colin drops off. That opens up a line for you. 646-721-9828. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com. Speaking of that, let's see. We have another question with via email. Joey, when you were in TNA, did Matt Morgan show any signs of frustration with how he was being used? As a matter of fact, Matt Morgan did get his release from TNA yesterday.
I think, you know, I love teaming with Matt. Matt and I have become good friends, and we talk all the time. And, you know, I'm very supportive of his decision to leave. That was his decision. But I mean, I don't think he was as frustrated as he, you know, because he was happy working there and he liked everybody there. But I think that he understood that there's the same reason why I wasn't being utilized on TV is there's only so much TV time. TNA has 2 hours of Impact every week, and that's it. And then they have the guys that they have storylines for and storylines they've written out, and they command the most TV time. And then if you're on the back burner, it's really hard for you to get, you know, onto TV. And so I think Matt just thought he was being underutilized, and, you know, just didn't want to be kind of thrown out there. I think Matt, you know, is very, you know, he's very confident in his ability and knows what he can offer to the show. And since he wasn't, they really were writing anything for him, he was just kind of on the back burner. I think he just took that as his time to leave.
The other story that's sort of come out about TNA, over the past several days is that they were at one point, you know, depending on who you believe, 4 to 8 weeks behind on paying people. Did you have any experience with that, or is that just something you don't know anything about?
I don't know everyone's deals. You know, everyone has different contracts. I just know what my contract was about, and really I can't get into too much detail of my contract, but I can tell you that I did get a monthly guarantee, and that, you know, and then plus I got bonuses for doing shows, and my monthly guarantee, it was never late. I was never the first of every month or the 15th of every month or the 20th of every month. But if I was going to get a paycheck for April, it would come sometime in April. If I was going to get a paycheck for May, it would come sometime in May. And so they were never late. They were never late for my monthly paychecks. And then my appearance bonuses were always within 2 weeks, like maybe 10 to 14 days I would receive that. So I can't really say they were ever late or did anything, you know, like that for my contract. But I don't know everyone's contracts.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, you only know what you know. Let's go back to the telephone, to the 347 area code. 347. Please state your name and town. You're on the live cast.
Hello, this is Chris from New York. I have three questions.
Hi, Chris. Yes, go ahead.
The first one is about Matt Morgan. With Undertaker and Kane in their late 40s, do you see Vince McMahon offering Matt Morgan a contract?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. It's your show.
I don't see why they wouldn't, with the possible exception that, you know, as Joey talked about and we've talked about, they're working on their own guys, and they have guys, you know, who are going through the WWE system. But you know, they I mean, Matt Morgan's worked for WWE before, and they certainly know who he is. So, yeah, I think that's a possibility.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling-related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality-hosted podcasts.
The second question is about Hulk Hogan. Do you think, in a way, Hulk Hogan and Sting are holding back TNA because they give the impression that it's just a place where old guys are performing?
Okay. Do you want to tackle that first, Joey?
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. I think Hulk Hogan is obviously a guy who is recognizable all around the world. Hulk Hogan can get you TV in Argentina, you know what I mean, just by being Hulk Hogan. So I think he's very, and not only that, but, people who aren't in TNA and don't see what goes on backstage don't really know how much Hogan really does to help produce the show, and whether it's just giving guys tips, and he's never too busy. He's always approachable. Anybody on the roster can go up to him and ask him questions and get his advice, and he's never too busy for anyone. He's never too he's always willing to lend a helping hand, and that's, I don't think very many people get to see that. They just think what they hear or see on TV is, Hulk Hogan, taking up TV time or whatever, but really he does a lot to help produce the show. And Sting is an older guy, but he's willing to give it and go in the ring, and he doesn't have to, and he wants to go. I mean, I know he's getting paid well, but he's another guy who is willing to come in and work with anybody, talk to anybody, and just give his two cents in. And I think the fact that they're recognizable names really helps the product, and the fact that, Sting is willing to get in there and work hard with whoever, they put him with is a sign that, he cares about the company as well.
Okay, I understand, where Joey's coming from and agree with a lot of what he's saying, I think the main obstacle to TNA getting bigger than they are is they have to create their own stars. I mean, having Hulk Hogan and Sting and Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle, that's great. But in order to sort of get your own identity, they're going to have to create a guy who's TNA, if you know what I mean.
I would agree with that.
Okay, go ahead, Chris.
The third question is about Sting. Do you think Sting is going to try to go to WWE next year, or do you think he's going to just stay in TNA until he retires?
I'll let you speculate on that one.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not Sting, but his deal's up in, I guess, a year or maybe a little less than a year. I think we're going to know more when he comes closer to the end of that deal. First of all, whether WWE is going to be interested in him. Secondly, how much whether TNA values him enough to keep him. And third, whether Sting wants to do it at all by then. Yeah, that's a ways off.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Chris. Chris drops off. That opens up a line for you, 646-721-9828. Don't forget, immediately following this program, as part of the PW Torch family of shows, it is the East Coast Cast, available at eastcoastcast.com. Travis Bryant and Bardray Purnell will be there. That is not a PG-rated show, so parental discretion is advised. Let's check out some more of our emails. This one is from Dominic. Dominic writes in, Joey, I love your sleaze character and things that make you stand out, but are you concerned with it keeping you at a mid-card level, and what do you think you can do to keep developing it?
That's a good question. I like it too, and I agree that it stands out. The idea, with my characters, I'm kind of more of a throwback, which I know makes me kind of more of a novelty act, but, because the whole idea of my characters to be a wrestler from the 80s, at least in my head, and at least the way I portray it, and the way that I act in the ring and the way I do wrestling moves is I'm trying to emulate, while everyone's trying to get advanced and get, find this a hybrid of MMA and pro wrestling and have everything be more updated, I'm kind of taking it backwards, which it helps me stand out. But again, I know it's more of a novelty act, but you know, I mean, character development wise, you know, there's a lot of places it can go. You know, I know that being a throwback doesn't always lend itself well to being, you know, on the top of cards and everything like that. But, you know, I have fun doing what I do, and, you know, and I like to do, you know, I like to throw comedy in my matches and stuff. I just feel like it's more entertaining. It's more, it gives me more, like, of an outlet creatively. So if it keeps me at the mid-card, you know, it's so be it. But, you know, as long as I'm having fun doing it, I would hate to be given a character that I didn't enjoy doing and made it feel like work, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. All right, we have a caller via Skype from the 111 area code. 111, go ahead, caller. You are on the air.
Hey, Pat. Hey, Joe. This is Travis from the East Coast Cast. Don't know why I came.
Oh, hi, Travis. Hold on a moment. I didn't come up on the number. Ladies and gentlemen, as we were just talking about, Travis Bryant and Bardrick Purnell bring you the East Coast Cast every Wednesday immediately following this program. Go to eastcoastcast.com for all the pertinent details. Here's Travis. Travis, what do you expect when you're on the East Coast Cast in just 13 minutes from now?
Yep, just a few minutes away, eastcoastcast.com. Check us out. We got all kinds of fun and shenanigans up as usual. We're going to talk Raw, SmackDown, and Impact the last week. Anything and everything is on the table today. Where does Vicky Guerrero go from here? That was a big angle. We have different opinions on the segment itself, so we're going to get into that. We're going to get into the championship titles. We're going to get into all the top storylines. So hit us up on the consolation lines. If you email us, chat us, tweet us, Facebook. Friend us. We're under the Torch umbrella. Thanks, guys. I'm out.
Okay. Thank you very much, Travis. Check out that show when we get done here on the Peter Torch livecast. Let's try another phone call from the 301 area code. 301. Please state your name and town. You're on the livecast. Oh, hold on. Now you're on the livecast. 301. Sorry. Hello.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. My name is Eddie from Maryland, and I'd like
Hi,
to know how you doing. I'd like to know, is Joey Ryan, are you going to return back to Championship Wrestling from Hollywood? Because that's like one of my favorite shows. That was the first time I ever saw you. So, are you going back there?
Okay.
Well, it's nice to know that I'm sure you watch it online. It's nice to know that it reaches that kind of far out. You know, it's kind of a homegrown product here in Southern California, and it's on TV locally here in Southern California. But I know they put all the episodes online, so it's nice to know that people are paying attention to it because, a good friend of mine, David Marquez, is the one who kind of produces it and runs it all. And that being said, David Marquez is a good friend of mine, and so I'm sure he's, I've already let him know that I'd be interested in coming back, so I'm sure he's figuring out a way to write me back into the storylines and in the script and everything like that. So, like I said, David's a good friend of mine, so I'm sure we'll be working together.
Okay. I'd like to know, what was your opinion when Adam Pearce didn't get picked for the gut check?
Yeah, that was a little bit more questionable of a decision. But, again, I think it's more business decision than anything else. I mean, I think Adam can make money anywhere he goes for any company. He's great. But, again, it would be for them, possibly, it would be just putting another guy on the roster that they didn't really have anything for, with a limited amount of TV time. Like, Adam's not a guy you can sign and send to OVW. That's just not going to happen. So I think they figured that maybe they would just sign him. If they signed him, they would just be sitting at home collecting a paycheck like I was for the last, 2 or 3 months of my contract. So I think maybe it was more of a business decision than a talent decision.
Okay, that's all I got, so. But thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. That opens up the line for you, 646-721-9828. Got about 10 minutes left here with Joey Ryan. Fortunately, we have a horde of emails that we still have to get through. Let's go back to Dominic from Philadelphia, who wanted to know, enjoyed you teaming with Little Guido, and wanted to know what it was, whether you could talk about your experience working with him.
Guido was great. We did Rinky King in India. And he is just, you know, just getting to the team with him and getting to watch him and learn from him, because he's a guy who can be serious and be comedic and has all the greatest timing in the world. And just to be up close to see him and how he, you know, how he differentiates when he gets serious and when he gets comedic, and just being able to watch his timing really helped me grow as a wrestler. And it's something I always thank him for.
Okay, and it's good to see him every so often when WWE needs him, either as a wrestler or as a referee, for that matter.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Yep, another email. This one coming in. It's from Julian, who wants to know. Well, first of all, Joey, do you think the door is open for you to go back to TNA again?
Absolutely. In fact, I was told that. You know, when I got my release, Al Snow called me and he said, it's nothing personal. It has nothing to do with your work. This is purely a business decision. We have to tighten the belt, and we're not utilizing you right now, and so they didn't want to pay me, which makes sense. But he said the door is always open, and you know they know of me and they know of my ability, and if they have something for me down the line, they won't hesitate to call. So I think the door is definitely open, at least according to Al.
Okay, and his next question is. He wants to know what you think of AJ Styles.
AJ's great. You know, he's probably one of the most talented wrestlers that I've ever wrestled myself, or even watched wrestle. Like, AJ's one of those guys that no matter where I was on the card or he was on the card, if he was going to wrestle, I'd go find a monitor and watch his matches.
Okay. That's understandable. You know, when you started in Ring of Honor, you know, it was noted that there was a lot of similarity between your character and the character that Austin Aries had at the time. You've been in Ring of Honor with him, and then you were in TNA with him. Is that something that concerned you? You wanted to make an effort, you know, to be, shall we say, distinctive from his, you know, your character's distinctive or different from his?
Not necessarily. I mean, I get that comparison a lot. I think he has found, you know, his niche, which is, I think I'm more of a cartoon character and he's more of a serious guy. And I mean, I think a lot has to do with our look or similar stature, you know, our facial hair or whatever it is that gets the comparisons. But I think there's enough to differentiate, you know, especially if we're on the same show or even wrestling each other in the same match. And then sometimes we do, like in Ring of Honor, we like to play it up a lot, like the similarities. In TNA, not so much. But, you know, he's a good friend of mine, and we get along really well, and we kind of tease each other about it. But I think creatively there's enough difference between us to keep us apart.
Okay. Let's go to another email. This one's from another Ryan, who writes, oh, here's a good one. Why do internet writers, and presumably in podcasters, underrate TNA?
If you want to field this one, or is it for me?
I think you might have a slightly different viewpoint than I do, but go ahead.
True. I think it's hard to compare, because I think a lot of people watch TNA and they think it's, and they compare it to WWE, which is a whole different monster, and TNA still has a lot of growth to do. And I think right now they have the right pieces in place to make that growth. Again, it's a work in progress. But I think initially when you see it, you try to compare it to WWE, and really nothing compares to WWE wrestling-wise, professionally, you know, like producing-wise and all that stuff. So I think some of the judgments are based on comparison, and I don't really think that's very fair to TNA, who's trying to grow and be their own identity.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, and you know, part of it is, as somebody who covers the business and you know, talks about it, I would like for, you know, I worry for TNA because it's better for me if the company, you know, doesn't go out of business. So a lot of that is concern. And, you know, frankly, I mean, WWE, you know, they have all the advantages and they are so all pervasive that if you want to survive as competition to them, as any sort of competition to them, there has to be something that you do there has to be something that you give people that WWE does not. And, you know, and I guess my only real problem with what Hogan and Bischoff have done in the past couple of years is that it seems like they've taken away some of the things that used to make TNA different. But that's just my opinion.
So, yeah, I can see that.
Okay. Let's see. Another email question for you. Joey, what do you think of Bray Wyatt and his gimmick?
What debuted on Monday on Raw? Because I haven't seen it yet.
Or if you've seen the gimmick on NXT before that.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it. I'm sorry. I've been kind of out of the loop lately.
All right, and another email question. What do you think of Joseph Park and his gimmick? And you wrestled Joseph Park at Lockdown, so you know a little something
about that. Yeah, it might have been my favorite match while I was there because it was a cold match. You know, it was an unannounced pay-per-view match, and we went out there and just kind of, you know, had to figure out what character, you know, what his character and my character had that we could make that match work with. And so it was kind of like rolling the dice, like, okay, we have no issue. We got to go out there and have this match, so let's try to make it fun with our characters. And, you know, I think the character, I mean, I'm so entertained just by, you know, he has such great facials and his acting is so good as the character that I mean, I'm entertained by it as a fan.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that because it's the sort of thing where if you didn't know that, if you didn't know what he had done as a wrestler before taking it on that character, you wouldn't know who it was.
Right.
Right. So I think that's a lot of what I enjoy about his character.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
We have a couple minutes left here. Talk about, let me ask you this. What have been your two or three favorite matches that you've wrestled in over the years?
My favorite matches early on, you know, I got to wrestle Jamie Noble at PWG, which was, like I said, he was an influence of me getting started, so I really liked that one. I did an Ironman match that went into overtime with Super Dragon that was ended up being like over 70 minutes long, and that was just a personal goal, so that stands out for me. And those are a couple early matches. Challenging myself to, you know, get in the ring with guys like RVD and just know that I could be on their level or, you know, at least keep up with them. You know, has really been, you know, it's more like personal accomplishments now that stand out, you know, not necessarily like the, you know, we had the house rocking and we had the five stars or whatever. It's more just like personal accomplishments that really stand out for me nowadays.
Okay. Do you have a favorite guy to work with, favorite opponent?
I haven't wrestled him in a long time, but I really liked Chris Hero, who's now Cassius Ohno in NXT. He always seemed to bring the best out of me whenever we would wrestle each other. Roderick Strong, Super Dragon, Kevin Steen, El Generico. Those guys are some of my favorites. To Frankie Kazarian. Just those guys are just the guys I have the most fun with and I learn the most and bring the best out of me.
Okay, and since we have a little time left and this, you know, and people are going to download the show, including people who are in the indies who are bookers, Tell these people what you get when you get Joey Ryan on your show.
Well, you get the man who's bringing Sleazy back to professional wrestling. You know, I'm a colorful character. I stand out. You know, I know that I get over because my merchandise does so well. If you want to book me, my email address is joeyryan@hotmail.com. I'm easily accessible. You can find my stuff on YouTube. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Joey Ryan Online, or if you search Facebook for Joey Ryan, you'll find me. I think I really bring something different, kind of a throwback to the 80s, and just I make it all work with today's wrestling.
Okay, well, Joey, I wish you the best of luck. I hope we get to see you, you know, soon, no matter where here is. Do you know what your first non-TNA booking is going to be?
Actually, it was last week for Brian Kendrick has a promotion or a wrestling school, and he runs a promotion, and I did him a favor, kind of, and he went and wrestled his top student. So it was last week, and this week I have Lucha Vavoom, which is a company out here in Southern California, coming up this weekend.
Okay, so be sure to check that out. Joey, thank you very much for being on the show. Hope we can have you back at some point, and I wish you the best of luck going forward here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you for listening, Torch listeners, you. Don't forget, James Caldwell will be hosting the show tomorrow. VIP members, stick around at the end of this because James Caldwell and I will be recording our after show, and it'll be attached to here. Until then, good night.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
You're going to be doing a lot of doobie rolling when you're living in a van down by the river.
Sit, Ubu, sit. The dog.
Never go wrong with 80s music. Welcome back to Studio B here.
I was just getting into it, Pat. I was ready.
Yeah, I know. On a Wednesday, I am Pat McNeil, joined as always on the Wednesday VIP After Show by Torch Assistant Editor James Caldwell. James, how the heck are you?
I'm good, Pat. It's been a busy day. A lot of stuff going on. Ready to talk some wrestling.
Yes, we are. As a matter of fact, I will actually start this out so I don't forget by reminding you that this program is a copyrighted production of TDH Communications and is intended solely for the private use of our audience. Any rebroadcast or the use of description of the events depicted without the express written consent of Wade Keller and the National Basketball Association is prohibited. James, would you like to start things off with our live cast poll results?
Let's do it. I have it pulled up, ready to go.
All right. We asked you earlier today which match at Money in the Bank will have the Silva versus Weidman finish from last Saturday's UFC pay-per-view, taking the lead right now with 21% of the vote, none of the above. you are very confident in WWE. 20% voted what's UFC. 17% voted for John Cena and Mark Henry. I actually voted for Jericho versus Ryback, but that's just me.
Well, Ryback's going to cry and then quit, so that's not quite what Silva did, but it's close.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just a little bit too on the nose with that.
That's right. That should go in your preview, though, Pat, when you write it up this weekend.
Oh,
that,
yes,
that should be in your preview.
I do, in fact, have a preview that I have to put out, hopefully here today or tomorrow, but most likely on Saturday. So,
sounds good.
Yes. Oh, and you're right, Wade Keller did promote the live cast on Twitter with Joey Ryan, and I'd like to thank Joey for being on. I thought that was a good and productive hour, and hopefully next week with Leilani Kai we'll also have a good and productive hour. So.
Oh, that should be fun. Good interview.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, let's go through all the news that's fit to print right now. James, what are we covering at this moment over on pwtorch.com?
Well, at the moment, I'm waiting for Raw ratings. We don't have them yet for Monday. Maybe during the after show we'll get some indication. Otherwise, Stone Cold Steve Austin did an interview of significance with Busted Open Satellite Radio, where he basically said that he's physically able to do WrestleMania. He just hasn't been able to work out a business plan with WWE. His exact quote, and pull it up here for a second. When you're going to try to commit to do a WrestleMania 30, you are really looking at least 2 to 3 month commitment, if not four. Blah 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 blah. Let's see, and I'm trying to read down the next important point. So once you throw a legitimate, real deal offer down the table and say, let's talk, then we'll talk. But until then, it's conjecture. Mm-hmm. So cool. There's that. That's Stone Cold. I mean, the big story for me is Randy Orton and major divorce news that came out 2:30 in the morning. TMZ reported it. And I found the court record on the Missouri website, government website, and we found out that Mr. Orton makes about $3.5 million a year. So that's significant. And, you know, Pat, it's another top star who, I mean, we don't know why Orton and his wife got divorced. But, you know, you look at the schedule, look at the demands on the road. A lot of the stuff kind of adds up for these relationships.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I think from what I read, he mentioned a lot of the, you know, the interview and the publicity that was done around his DVD biography, where he talked about, you know, he talked about his drug overdose, and he talked about, you know, the issues that came to that, and apparently that had something to do with it.
Yeah, yeah, it's unfortunate, you know. All signs indicated that Orton was very mature and he'd grown up, and you know, I don't know why the divorce happened, but you know, you never get. I mean, the court documents I found were just the summary court documents. You didn't get the full rundown, the lawsuit. You know, this, and this happened, but not the lawsuit, but just the divorce papers. But you know, it's unfortunate, and you hope that Orton still remains grown up and doesn't revert back to how he was before.
Well, I mean, if they separated last year, as TMZ said, then it's likely that the, you know, the grounds for divorce are going to be, well, we've been separated for X amount of time, and you're not.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It was.
And you're not going to get those details.
Yeah, yeah, because the I believe the there was an item in the records that showed there was a proceeding that began on November 5th, and it did not say divorce proceedings, but I would imagine something similar to that when they were separated.
That or custody, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it could be custody. It didn't say. It was sort of code language. Yeah, and then the official proceedings began in March, and then Orton was served a couple of days after WrestleMania on April 11th, and then it was official June 22nd, 23rd-ish. So, yeah, imagine that. WrestleMania, you do Raw, you do SmackDown, then you're served. So, yeah.
Well,
that's,
I mean, you know, and he's the end. And really, they're the only ones who know the details on that.
That's right.
Yeah, but yeah, that's I mean, that's sad. But you know, there are reasons behind it, and we can guess. You know, we can guess a good chunk of the reasons without going too deeply into the relationship.
Sure, sure. Just the external factors. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Japanese news. The Great Muta has who left All Japan along with some of their stars. All Japan split, and Great Muta has started Wrestle One, which will launch in September. That's kind of a big deal, but it also symbolizes that Japanese wrestling is no longer the huge monster when it comes to doing business that it once was.
Yeah, it's kind of fragmented, you know. I mean, you know, New Japan's doing okay for themselves right now. They've got you know, they've put together some good shows, and they're drawing decent crowds, and All Japan's just a mess, you know, with, you know, 12, 14 or so wrestlers leaving to go now to go with Muta to start his new promotion. And then poor Noah, you know, Noah's just never really recovered after the death of Misawa.
No.
You know, they're trying, but, you know, it's kind of fragmented, and a lot of stuff going on. So you hope that they can kind of right the ship in some of these promotions and get back to promoting good shows.
Yeah, I would like to see that, but yeah, it might be a little while.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, I was sort of going to get to it, the five things you might not know, but let's go to it. Dragon Gate USA. Earlier today, they announced their lineup for the Queen's show on July 27th, and I think in 2 weeks on the live cast we'll be discussing that one. That's a pretty huge one. It's going to be their version of Three Stages of Hell.
Yeah, I read the email and my head hurt. It's like, okay, I've got
okay,
a.
Let me see if I can track that down. Anyway, I think the teams are the Young Bucks and Ricochet.
Right.
Are one team. And then the second team is AR Fox, Shima, and Tomahawk TT.
Right.
That's what it sounds like. Okay. So let's see here. I'm trying to get their official press release, which I know is out somewhere. Yeah. All right. And it is a 2 out of 3 falls match. Okay.
That's right.
Let's see. And I'm taking a moment because it's got to pull up here. Oh, geez. Two out of three falls match. First fall is two referees with strict and tag team enforcement. Yeah, I know. The second fall is Dragon Gate rules, which means you don't have to tag in and out. You know, you just leave the match. That I understand. And then the third fall is tables, ladders, and chairs.
And so, if it's tables, ladders, and chairs, is it there's something above the ring? Is it just those weapons?
There aren't any belts on the line. It just says tables, ladders, and chairs legal. So
that's what's making my head hurt because it's not a tag title match, and
it's not. So you can just use all the stuff.
So you just climb the ladder and you get to come off the top rope on somebody.
Yeah, you can drop it on people. You can do the tables. You can use the chairs.
This is very overcomplicated.
Polsky is taking suggestions for what to name the match.
Headache.
I know. Emergency room volume discount match.
Health insurance on a pole match, please. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But that's gonna be the main event of that one, and that's gonna be different. Plus Johnny Gargano versus Rich Swann finally paying off that feud in a non-title match, of course.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, that's gonna be different.
Very different. And
that's why we have Sean Radican.
To help break it all down. That's right. And I feel like, Pat, it's just like, just focus on the feud. You know, you need to have this overcomplicated new match concept. It sounds like something TNA would come up with like 5 years ago. And it was like,
that's true. That's a great point. That's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, okay, we have this new match concept. It's gonna be just focus on the feud. You know, focus on who, you know, what's the issue and how they're gonna settle it. So when I see that sort of like, oh, look at this new match coming. It's like, just have a match and have an issue and let it play out.
Do you watch a lot of Dragon Gate USA?
I catch bits and pieces, but I read more of Sean's reports than I watch the shows.
Well, we'll let Sean Radican worry about that. But if you tune in on the 24th, we will be discussing the Dragon Gate shows. I promise with the guests that we have on then, and hopefully Radican can drop by. Okay.
Very good.
Are you ready for the five things you might not know?
Let's do it.
All right. I don't know if this first one's going to help with your headache, but I'll try anyway. You know, James. You know what wrestling needs right now?
More match concepts.
No, actually, what wrestling needs in 2013 is another Best of Triple H DVD set. That's why Triple H Thy Kingdom Come is the name of the DVD. It'll drop on September the 24th. No, I am not making this up. Another Classic 3 DVD set with more of the Best of Triple H, including his Iron Man match from 13 years ago where he beat The Rock. Of course. Because we need that. actually, a very good match with a screwed up finish, which I don't remember exactly who screwed up the finish, but it's a screwed up finish.
Because they have to make sure that his victory over the biggest movie star in the world, is stressed on the DVD. Yes.
Well, one of his victories. They traded victories for a long time, but yeah.
That's true.
Okay, that's story number five. Story number four: All American Wrestling returns July 27th in Marionette Park, Illinois. They have a big lineup, including Rhino taking on Eddie Kingston, and including the return to AAW of Carlito.
Carlito. Yeah, I was not impressed with the match he had with John Morrison at Family Wrestling a couple weekends ago.
Now that you mention FWE, Joey Ryan just tweeted that he's on their next big show in October. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. He's getting his independent bookings.
We tie that
together. Yes. It's synergy, Pat. Very good.
We do that around here.
In that Carlito-Morrison match, I wasn't sure who to put the blame on. They were both wrestling as if they were on Superstars, and they were given, you know, hey, 15 minutes, and this is only going to air in international markets. So, you know, just go out there and have a 15-minute match, you know, and it was like, That's what that felt like at the FWE show.
Okay. If we get cut off, we're in the middle of a massive thunderstorm going on in the greater Richmond area.
Okay.
Story number three. After you get done listening, alert Bruce Mitchell, because HighSpots.com has a documentary about Jim Crockett Promotions coming out August the 3rd.
Ah, very
with,
nice.
With exclusive footage from people. Apparently there were a couple of people who were allowed to film ringside at the matches at the house show. So a documentary, some exclusive stuff. That's going to be pretty cool.
I'm looking forward to that. Hearing Bruce and Jim Mitchell talk in the live cast on Monday, that was just great. You know, so anything, you know, Mid-Atlantic or Jim Crockett Promotions or anything on, you know, your area, Pat, in Virginia, Mid-Atlantic, you know, it's just it's good stuff to talk about and to hear about and see the matches. So good stuff.
Speaking of which, this Friday, in case we haven't mentioned it, and I know you're going to mention it again tomorrow, Wade Keller and Bruce Mitchell welcome James J. Dillon, Hall of Famer, former manager of the Four Horsemen, big part of the front offices, both in WWF and WCW.
I'm excited for that. I forgot that I interviewed him in 2006, and I went back and I listened to some of part one. I was like, man, I don't remember doing this, but
definitely put that back out too.
Yeah, maybe I should flash it back. It was when we had the old audio system, you know, pre-2008. So it was unique audio back then. So that was fun to kind of go back and listen to that interview I did. Swash, what is it, 7 years ago now? Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Well, there you go.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Okay. Story number two. You remember our friends AIW in Cleveland?
Oh, sure, with Mr. Hutter and AKA Bateman.
They're coming back with a big show on August the 30th, and that's a Friday night. And on that big show, making his AIW debut from Dragon Gate, Mr. Uha Nation.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I thought I said that. That'll be a nice.
Is Bateman on that show too?
What's that?
Is Bateman on that show?
That's the only match I think that's been announced is Uha Nation versus Josh Alexander. So.
Okay, very good.
But we will keep track of that.
That's right.
And of course, story number one coming August the 3rd to Ring of Honor in Toronto, a pretty loaded lineup considering that there's no Ring of Honor champion, including the American Wolves, including the Brian Kendrick Paul London reunion, and including the return of Forever Hooligans from New Japan. So.
Exciting stuff. This could have been, if it avoided the 16-man tournament route, this could have been Michael Elgin's crowning moment in Toronto, his hometown, winning the ROH title. But alas, it will be dragged out until September.
All right. There's also sort of an announcement, and we talked about this earlier, James, which I can't get into all the details here, but it looks like we are going to have a PW Torch livecast FanFest or Expo or whatever you want to call it, several months from now. And, the idea is, you make your travel plans, you come, you meet us, several of the hosts, you meet a good chunk of a good grouping of people who have been guests on the live cast.
The all-star panel.
Yes, well, among others. And as a group, after we get together and gather and do stuff, we watch a couple of live wrestling shows together.
That's a weekend to me, Pat. That sounds great.
Yeah, that's something we're hammering out all the details on that, and we will have that in the coming days. But I'm really hopeful that you can make it, James, hopefully we have a good turnout of PW Torch livecast hosts.
That's right. I'd be very excited for that. This sounds like it's going to materialize. I'm trying to make travel plans, and let's see, November 30th, right? So that's, what day of the week is that?
That's a Saturday, by the way.
A Saturday, and I don't believe there's a pay-per-view.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's It should be doable. And I've wanted to come to North Carolina for a while, and it should be a fun time if we can make it happen.
Never done anything like this before, so.
Yeah, I mean, I know that you guys used to get up or meet up in Vegas every year or so.
Well, that hasn't happened since 2001, but
yeah, it's been a while.
You can ask upper management about that.
And we definitely have to have Fairplay there as our official mascot, right?
I certainly think he'll be available for that. So let's go with that. We're light on the details, but hopefully when we lay it all out for you, some of you VIPs will be able to come and participate because we think it's going to be a very special weekend.
Very fun.
Okay. All right. There we go there. Okay. Are we ready? Don't see any special emails for us this week. So
okay.
I guess we might as well get on with it. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Wrestling and all the ships at sea. This is your PW Torch Live Event Center for Wednesday, July 10th, 2013. James, coming up shortly, WWE main event on ION Television tonight. Some big matches. Dolph Ziggler taking on Antonio Cesaro. And a huge six-man tag as Great Khali teams with Tons of Fun against the Road Scholars and Heath Slater.
Yeah, that six-man tag, I had to do a double take when I read the spoilers on .net. I'm sorry, I think Wrestling Inc. had the main event and .net had the SmackDown, but I was like, what? I'm sure there's a backstage segment, Pat, that'll make this all seem very clear and very, very well explained, I'm sure. But that six-man tag is weird.
Or not, but yeah, that's something to look forward to later tonight, or you can catch it online somewhere, or DVR, or I don't know.
That's right.
Tomorrow on Hulu Plus, James, you can watch this week's edition of NXT. Sami Zayn will be in action. I know there are a lot of Sami Zayn fans out there.
Very good.
And the main event, a big six-man tag, as the Wyatt family takes on the trio of Adrian Neville, Corey Graves, and William Regal.
I hope that match makes main television one of these years. You know, that's a heck of a six-man. So, I mean, obviously, you know, not all three of those. Well, you got Regal in there. He's already been the main roster. But I would assume that Corey Graves will be on the main roster eventually. So who knows? Maybe this match sometime down the road will be on main television. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows indeed. That could be fun. We'll see how it goes. Of course, tomorrow is the opening of the WWE Developmental Center.
That's right.
In the Orlando area. And amazingly enough, tomorrow are the NXT tapings taking place at Full Sail University.
It's two for the price of one.
Special guests for this tapings are Big E Langston and AJ Lee. And, of course, the usual suspects are advertised. Bo Dallas, the Wyatt family, Adrian Neville, Cassius Ohno, you know, the regulars.
All the friends, yeah, all your good friends, yeah. I mean, I think Dolph Ziggler is supposed to be there too. Looking on their website, looks like Ziggler's advertised. We got the invite to go down there. It just, you know, it was late notice, and so I'm not sure if we'll have anyone down there. The Performance Center opening, but I would like to make a trip down there eventually, and take a look at it and check it out and take the tour and all that sort of deal. So, you know, one day, maybe on the way to North Carolina in November, we'll stop by Full Sail. Go down to Florida and take it up the coast.
Okay. Well, there you go. Something to look forward to. All right. Also tomorrow night, it's TNA Impact Wrestling on Spike TV. Another big show. Including they're doing a Bound for Glory series Lethal Lottery with the 12 stars, and one of the big featured matches, based off what happened last week, even Jeff Hardy teaming with Joseph Park against AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, and of course the much anticipated ladder match between Taryn Terrell and Gail Kim.
Yeah, I'm not sure. What we had a correspondent at the show. I don't remember how he compared that show to the previous show, but, I've got the Lethal Lottery deal, and that's kind of hit or miss, and you have a gauntlet match, that's hit or miss, so it may or may not be a good show. I guess you got to tune in to find out.
Yeah, there's a lot of hitting and missing going on there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Ring of Honor is on tour, James, for the next few days. Tomorrow night they're in Marionette Park, Illinois. You'll get to see the Big Six mixed tag match. Michael Elgin, B.J. Whitmer, and Mischief against Adrenaline Rush and Athena. Plus, Jimmy Jacobs will perform his new single. And I have no idea. Delirious will return to the ring. You know,
Delirious will perform his new single? Okay,
no,
got
Delirious
it.
Is going to wrestle, yeah. But so we'll see how that goes. Friday, of course, Ring of Honor in Milwaukee, the main event, a non-title four-way, Matt Taven versus Jay Lethal versus Michael Cole versus Michael Elgin. And Saturday in Dearborn, Michigan, Matt Taven versus Kevin Steen in a non-title match. And the American Wolves versus Michael Elgin and Jay Lethal. So if you're on the road with Ring of Honor this weekend, a whole lot of Michael Elgin.
Hey, he's going to be the next top star. So, yeah. That's
so.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Then, of course, Friday, it's the WWE Superstars on Hulu. Gee, I hope you're ready for this, James. Your main event, Zack Ryder versus Antonio Cesaro.
Yeah, old Antonio is getting all the C-level in main events this week. So, good for him. Yeah.
He's a very busy man.
That's right.
Let's see here. Friday Night SmackDown, the big go-home show taped in Hampton, Virginia. Your featured bouts, it'll be Christian versus Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton versus Sheamus.
Orton and Sheamus locking it up again. I mean, we thought that might have been a WrestleMania, match a couple months ago. You know, maybe they set up a number one contenders deal. But here it is, Friday night on SmackDown with zero hype behind it. So
how can
you
get tired of Sheamus versus Randy Orton?
Yeah, how can anyone get tired of that?
I have no idea. But... Okay, let's see. Ring of Honor on Sinclair Broadcast Group Television. Oh, hold on a moment. I almost forgot. This Friday, it's the it's the Shine Title Tournament on iPay-Per-View on WWNLive.com from Ybor City, Florida. 14-woman tournament for the title, including a couple of big first round matches like Leva Bates versus Mia Yim. And the four-way of Amazing Kong versus Ivelisse versus Kimberly versus Angelina Love. So
that's some star power in that match right there.
Yeah, it's pretty loaded. If you have not seen a Shine show, please by all means check it out.
That's right.
This would probably be the one to see. Okay, moving on then. Ring of Honor on Sinclair Broadcast Group TV this weekend. Tommaso Ciampa versus QT Marshall. They finally have that big grudge match. And Red Dragon defends the ROH tag team titles against the CNC Wrestle Factory.
Yeah, decent match. Anytime you get a tag title match, that's a pretty good show. So that's solid.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Those are very good teams there. All you fans of Combat Zone Wrestling, CZW presents New Heights this Saturday from beautiful scenic Voorhees, New Jersey. Your featured matches, Tommy Dreamer versus Drew Gulak. And Masada defends the CZW title against Chris Dickinson.
And that's their Money in the Bank warm up there for before Money in the Bank comes on Sunday.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
MEW has a big show this Saturday out in Fresno, California, which we talked about briefly last week. Jimmy Ray versus T.J. Perkins, Johnny Gargano versus Brian Cage. Among the actually, those are probably the two most important bouts on that show.
Sure. Good stuff.
Believe it or not, a TNA house show this Saturday in Washington, Pennsylvania. Your featured matches for this big show, Jeff Hardy versus Sergeant Devon, and your main event, Kurt Angle versus AJ Styles.
Angle and Styles locking it up again. That's a treat for the fine folks in Washington, PA.
If you haven't seen it, it's new to you.
That's right.
That's what we say. All right, WWE Super Show this Saturday in Trenton, New Jersey, and good seats are still available for that at the Sun National Bank Center. Your featured matches, Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler for the SmackDown title, and John Cena versus Ryback for the WWE title in a tables match.
And CM Punk's advertised. I believe this is his first house show since coming back.
Yeah, Punk is advertised, and actually Chris Jericho is also advertised. So they are loading up.
It is officially, Pat, a super show.
Yes, that's why they call it a super show. Yes, indeed. All right. And, of course, this Sunday, WWE Money in the Bank from Philadelphia. We'll be covering it live on PWTorch.com. And James and Greg will probably be doing the post-game show on PWTorchLivecast.com. And we'll and myself and Wade and Bruce will be doing the VIP roundtable after the show. Your featured matches, Christian versus CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton versus Rob Van Dam versus Sheamus versus a wrestler to be named later in Money in the Bank. And John Cena defends the WWE title against Mark Henry.
Yeah, I wonder if they're just going to scratch Kane or replace him. You know, I mean, they have six guys already, so do you need to add a seventh guy?
They could scratch Kane. The only person I think would make a suitable substitution would be if Rey Mysterio is ready to go, which I have not heard, by the way.
I thought about Evan Bourne. You know, he might be a possibility.
They would not put him in the All-Stars match.
Hey, you know, he's John Cena's little buddy. Doesn't that count for something?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No, John.
Man, that was a long time ago. That was like 3 years ago.
All right. And finally, WWE Raw episode 1050, Monday from Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. You'll be thrilled to know the McMahon family will be in the house there advertising.
Of course they will.
And, of course, John Cena, Mark Henry, Rob Van Dam, and Brock Lesnar also advertised. That's a lot.
Yeah, they're going to load up Brooklyn, and I think we're going to start seeing the build-up to Lesnar and Punk and I guess find out whatever RVD is going to do at SummerSlam because he's scheduled for six TVs after Money in the Bank. So, yeah, I mean,
I would figure there they will have something for him to do.
I would hope so. yeah.
You know.
Unless he just takes the Jericho route and wrestles everybody and then gets stuck in a match with Ryback at the pay-per-view. I hope that's not why he's brought back, is to have a match with Ryback. So.
No, you know what? That you've given me the idea. The probably the long setup for that big Rob Van Dam versus Chris Jericho match.
Okay. That's interesting.
That could be a possibility.
When does Jericho go on tour? When is that? I want to say it's before Summer. It's August. He's in Europe August 3rd through 18th.
Well, the 18th is SummerSlam. So.
Well, so that scratches that one. Unless they do it on television, they can do RVD and Jericho on TV.
That's true too. I don't know.
I mean, Jericho's wrestled everybody else on TV, so might as well throw an RVD.
You might as well throw that in there. Okay. That is a full plate for this weekend.
That's right.
Lots and lots and lots of wrestling. And, of course, you got to tune in Friday for James J. Dillon on the Friday interview segment. And, of course, all sorts of coverage this Sunday.
Should be a good weekend. Money in the Bank feels like a big deal. They've hyped it, and they have a really good WWE title set up, title match set up, and you have the All-Star ladder match. And, you know, they got a good, solid card on Sunday. It's just a matter of execution.
Yeah, I've got to say they've done a good job of making their pay-per-views seem special, which when you're putting out three-hour episodes of Raw every week, that's hard to do.
It is, yeah. I mean, you've got to either find the right match, concept match. I mean, they've turned Money in the Bank into its own draw. So, I mean, they've done that. You know, in the past, they've had just, you know, in the last couple months, it's Brock Lesnar on pay-per-view. He had CM Punk coming back. So they've tried to make these shows feel more special than in the past.
Yeah, and I think they've done that. Okay, James, that's a lot to talk about. And what do you have planned for tomorrow on the live cast?
It's got to be predictions before the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Greg is tentative, so we might have Sean. If Sean's unavailable, we'll figure it out. But we're going to do some predictions and see what people have to say about what they think is going to happen at Money in the Bank on Sunday. So we'll do a predictions episode.
All right. Sounds like fun. And we will all get together this Sunday, and you'll hear more from us, and then we'll be back together next Wednesday for another round.
Very good.
Okay. Well, then, for James Caldwell, this is Pat McNeil. Until we see you next, keep your feet on the ground and keep shooting for the stars. Good night, everybody.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free editions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip. Now!